Shagadan Janash, Lakaya Chakshurin, Midi Tam, Yenitas Mai Shigarvayana Mahat. So I know that many of you are here for the first time, so it's important that I explain things in a very basic fashion about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, many of you know about Krishna. Of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is too, Bhagavan Swayam. And the name Krishna is a non-denominational name that simply means God is very beautiful. And Krishna himself appeared approximately 5,000 years ago, you know, give or take a few hundred. He appeared in the previous yuga, which is called the Dwapara Yuga. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it's stated that whenever there's a decline in religious practices, yada yada hi dharma shagwani bhavati bhavata, I think most of you know that verse, then God appears. He doesn't just appear once or twice or three times or four times. He appears, frankly, unlimited amounts of time. Because people have a tendency to forget religious principles and become irreligious. And not only does he appear on this planet, but he appears in many other planets in the... Wow, it's a symptom of ecstasy. So, in the Bhagavatam, it's described... In the Srimad, it's kind of hard, crying, but it's, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that God has as many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. In other words, unlimited incarnations, and God incarnates in every species of life. So particularly, we're interested right now in something called the Yuga Avatar. Yuga Avatar means the specific incarnation for each age that teaches something. Hare Krishna, wow, nice to see you. That teaches something called the Yuga Dharma. Because in each and every age, the Dharma or religious practice is different. Because people are different in each and every age. Like in the previous age, people were much more pious. And this age is called the age of Kali, which is the age of quarrel, sometimes called the Iron Age. And we're seeing this, if you read the newspaper, or, of course nobody reads the newspaper anymore, if you go on the internet and go to CNN, BBC, USA Today, I'm sure there's a bunch of other sites, Fox, whatever, then you will actually see how dangerous and difficult and what a state of disarray this world is in today, isn't it? I mean, it's really frightening. I mean, my mother calls me up regularly and says, it's terrible what's going on. And I tell her, it's the age of Kali. And she says, it doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, she doesn't know about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Actually, children crying in every age. It's not only the age of Kali that children cry. As long as they cry normally. There was one child in the previous age, he cried like an ass. That was Duryodhana. So most children don't cry like that. This story from the Mahabharata. So in any case, in the age of Kali, we require a specific manifestation of God, of Krishna, who is more merciful than in any other age. In the previous age, the Dwapara age, Krishna was merciful. And we have a prayer that illustrates that. Hey Krishna Kwanana Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. But his mercy has sort of a limit. You first have to surrender to him, and then you got mercy. And if you didn't surrender to him, maybe you have a little bit of trouble with the Sudarsan Chakra disc. But in this day and age, we require a manifestation of God who's more merciful than any other manifestation. And there's a specific prayer written by one great devotee that illustrates this. Namo Mahava Nyaya Krishna Prima Padayate Krishna Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Prasadama. That, my dear Lord, in this day and age, you are the most munificent as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because you are distributing something freely. And that most blessed, wonderful gift is love of God. And that's the most wonderful thing, because then you can experience your Sat, Chit, and Ananda nature. And so, therefore, Krishna appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this day and age. And that his appearance is predicted in different shastras like the Atharva Veda and other Vedic literatures as far as where he would appear, what his mother's name was, what his mission was, what he would be doing. This is how we can ascertain whether someone is an incarnation of God. It's not that anyone can declare themselves to be an incarnation of God. Of course, they can declare themselves, but we should not accept blindly that they are an incarnation of God simply because they can do some mystical things or magical tricks. I mean, many people could do magical tricks. When I was a young kid, then we would hire a magician for my birthday party. And they would do many magical tricks. You know, pull rabbits out of hats, money out of people's ears. I was thinking, this is a good way to make money. You just keep pulling out of people's ears. You don't have to get a job. But obviously, it's just simply a trick. So to be accepted as God, one has to have the credentials. Just like to be accepted as a PhD or an MA or even a bachelor's degree, you have to have credentials from a particular university, a certificate. You know, you check it out. It's not that you go to the hospital. Let's say if I go to Duke Hospital, for example, and say, you know, I'm a doctor, I want to operate. And they say, you know, where'd you graduate from? I said, well, I graduated from, let me pick some university, University of North Carolina, medical school. And they say, well, where's your degree? Well, I lost it. And they check out my credentials. They call UNC and say, did he actually graduate? No, we never heard of the guy. So therefore, they don't accept me as a doctor. And the same thing with God. They have to be certain credentials. Shastrika means scriptural credentials and qualities. Like Krishna, for example, lifted Govardhan Hill with the pinky of his left hand. I mean, that's a pretty good credential. What's your credential as God? Well, I lifted this hill, which is probably, how many pounds would Govardhan Hill be? Does anyone know? You know, billions and trillions of tons, basically. Just with the pinky of his left hand. So sometimes we find people who declare themselves to be God and say, you could just lift my car. You don't have to lift Govardhan Hill. Just lift the front end of my car. And they said, well, not today. I don't do this unless you're my devotee. But obviously I'm not their devotee. So basically we have to see who has the credentials, and Lord Chaitanya definitely has the credentials, Shastrik, and so many other things that he did. Actually, one interesting thing he did, which we'll see in the slideshow, he was able to make animals dance and chant. And I don't find many people able to do that. So let's hear a little bit. This is from a poem written by a great devotee, Lochan Das Thakur. And this is one of my spiritual master's favorite poems. It's called Paramakarna Bahujvijanam Nitai Gaura Chandasan, which basically means the most merciful incarnation of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, along with Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram Hoila Nitai. And this, of course, is Krishna, the Yamuna River. And this is the prayer I just cited, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Pramipadavate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Chaitanya. This prayer was written by a great devotee, Shiva Rupa Goswami. It says, O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself. Appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Now, because he's assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani, here's the picture of the Panchatattva there, therefore he's very merciful. Just like we are very much, let's say, non-sexist in the Krishna consciousness movement. In most religious beliefs, you have like a very heavy emphasis on the male. But we consider the Supreme Absolute Truth has a male aspect and a female aspect. You know, there's Krishna the Purusha and Srimati Radharani Prakriti. And that's called Radha and Krishna. And you'll see the deities of Radha and Krishna on the altar. That's Radha Galokananda. So, getting back to the point. So when Krishna takes the mood of his feminine counterpart, he becomes very merciful. And therefore he takes even the color of his feminine counterpart, which is Srimati Radharani, and he takes the golden color. Sorry about the volume. So that's my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada singing this song. And this is the first line. The two lords, Lord Nitai Gaura Chandra, are very merciful. Paramakarna Bhaktivijanam Nitai Gorachan. And so, as I mentioned before, being so merciful means they're giving out something, pure love of God, freely. Even there was an instance, which we'll hear about in a second, where someone attacked one of them, and they were given pure love of God after that. That means, of all the different avatars, because the avatar basically means to descend or to come down. It's not like that movie, The Avatar, that some of you may have seen, that you had people becoming someone in a little different colored body, a blue body. That's a horizontal change of bodies, or horizontal, so to speak. But we're talking about a vertical descent of, not a change of bodies even, a vertical descent of the Lord who comes down. How? Ajopi sanavyatma bhutanam isharopisham. Prakatim swamadistaya sambhavami atmaya. In its original transcendental form, not changing bodies. We're changing bodies. You know, one body, we're American, the next body, we're Indian, the next body, we're African, or whatever. But Krishna comes down, and his incarnations come down exactly as he is in the spiritual world, in his spiritual body made of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. So Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna. In fact, he's Krishna, as it's described, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. He's the combined manifestation of Radha and Krishna. Very, very interesting. And there is Lord Chaitanya illustrating that particular fact. This is the Sadbhuja incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, showing he's Krishna, he's Lord Ram. See, he has the bow and arrow. He has the kamandalu of a sannyasi. And he's also Krishna playing the flute. So that's Sadbhuja. And Krishna, Lord Chaitanya exhibited this form in several different instances, how he was Radha and Krishna, or he was a manifestation of Krishna and Vishnu. There's another instance with Ramananda Roy, one of his devotees. Ramananda Roy looked at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he saw Radha and Krishna. And so the process they introduced that's very merciful is called chanting and dancing. And this chanting and dancing process is a very joyful process. In other words, you don't have to go to the Himalayas like in the previous at Satya Yuga, for example. The process was sitting in a meditational posture for many years, because people lived a very long time. Satya Yuga people lived for 100,000 years. And imagine sitting in meditation for, what, 10 or 20,000 years. It'd be quite boring. I mean, I couldn't do that. I can't even sit and do anything for, I'd say about an hour is my limit. So imagine doing that, even for a year or two, or standing on one leg, like you see so many stories of yogis doing these things. And so then you have the Satya Yuga, and then after the Treta Yuga, the methodology was opulent sacrifices with a lot of gold and ghee, which nobody has nowadays. And then finally, in the Dwapara Yuga, was big, big deity worship in the temples. But in Kali Yuga, the process has been made very easily. It's just chanting Krishna's names and dancing. That's all you got to do. Just chant and dance and go back to God. Of course, there's a few little restrictions, like four regulated principles, but they're easy. I'm sure everyone here is following it. No meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. And if one follows these regulated principles, they're called the regulated principles of freedom. They free you from being controlled by your boss, the tongue or the mind, or the other senses. I mean, we definitely want freedom. Like yesterday we were talking to people about how India won independence from the British. And you have Mahatma Gandhi who helped attain that independence. So right now, basically none of us have independence because we're being controlled by our mind and senses. And if we want to see our boss, we just look in the mirror and look at our tongue. There's our boss. So this, if we follow these regulated practices, we can become free from the control of these extraneous elements which actually are not ourselves. Our real self is the soul within the body, not the mind and the senses. Of course, generally we see something tasty, like chocolate or something like that, we just go, like that. And so freedom means to be able to control the senses, not to be controlled by them, not to be dragged around by the senses. Isn't that, it's terrible to be dragged around by the senses. Anyway, so our process is simply chanting, dancing, and following a few little principles like that. So this devotee is requesting us, just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have taught us this process. This is a depiction of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda dancing in front of the Rath Yatra cart. And I believe on the 14th, there'll be a children's Rath Yatra as part of the, what, St. Patrick's Day Parade? And that'll be in Raleigh, so you're all invited to chant and dance in front of the cart. How big is the cart?
It's going to, like, every year what we have here is going to be a little bit bigger than that.
So. Okay, a little bigger than, what?
Every year what we have is
I don't remember. How big, can you describe how big it is? As big as you?
It's going to be up to 10 feet.
10 feet? Wow. Okay, that's pretty impressive. So, with firm conviction and faith. So how does one develop faith? One develops faith by practice. As Prabhupada, my spiritual master, said, that even if you don't believe in something, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Just like if I say to you that something is sweet, and you may or may not believe me, but if you eat it and you'll taste the sweetness, then you'll start to believe. So the chanting of Hare Krishna gives you this ecstasy and realization of your real nature. And if you practice it, even if you don't believe it in the beginning, you'll attain that realization. So he says one has to give up his engagement and sense gratification. That happens naturally. Don't worry about that one right now. That's a little challenging. But as you chant, then more and more you'll be absorbed in Krishna and be so happy. This is called in Bhagavad Gita, raso vajram raso pyasa param drishtami vartate, a higher taste or a higher pleasure. Just like when you're eating chocolate cake, then you're not interested in mud pies anymore. Right? I mean, or something else. You know, not chocolate is a higher taste than anything else. Right? Yeah, so an inside joke. So when you have something more tasty, you give up something less tasty. So that's why you give up all sense gratification. Basically means to be controlled by the senses. Manasashtani, indriyani, prakritishtani, karshati. The six senses which include the mind. And then you become happy because you become free, like I described before. You're free. You're free to make choices in life, not to be dictated anymore by the senses and the mind. This is simply wonderful. One simply has to chant, what? Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Without any motive. The motives go away, don't worry. Say or say magia, muke, bolo, hori, hori. Very simple process. And that's the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the Maha Mantra basically means, oh my dear Krishna, energy of Krishna, Srimati Radharani, please engage me in Krishna's service so I can be ecstatic. Because that's our natural constitutional position. The reason we're not happy now is we're not in our constitutional position. We're like a fish outside of the water. So therefore, when we chant and we engage in the service of God, the service of Krishna, according to that constitutional position, we feel satisfied. Otherwise, we're going to be looking for satisfaction and never happy. As that song from the 1960s goes, you know, can't get no satisfaction. Some of you may remember that song. My dear brother, see this, that within the three worlds there is no one like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Now it's interesting that they go by, that my dear brother, because everyone is our brother and sister. This is actually spiritual vision. Generally, we tend to think in terms of the body, that because I was born in a certain family, for example, I have a brother, My brother's a doctor. That's an interesting, funny thing. He's a foot doctor, so he worships other people's feet. And my position, I'm a guru, so sometimes people bathe my feet. So it's exactly the opposite. So, interesting, you know, a twist of fate, so to speak, like that. I explained that to my brother, and he says, well, what can I do? So anyway, but he's my brother, yes, that's physical. And I have my mother, physical mother, you know, that's related to this body. But in a larger sense, every living entity, and we're not only talking about human beings, because that's also speciesism. I mean, most of us, we don't like sexism or racism. I mean, these things are abhorrent. But we like speciesism. Speciesism means, like, we human beings are best, and we have a right to eat any other living entity we want as long as it's not a human being. Of course, there are some human beings who eat other human beings. They're known as cannibals. And I go to a place where that happened just recently. That's the Fiji Islands, which are called the Cannibal Islands. Fortunately, that's not happening now. But I used to be in South America, in Ecuador, and there's a lot of cannibals there. I was pretty scared. So, anyway, we shouldn't exploit any other creature. We should see all other living entities, even the inanimate living entities like the trees, plants, whatever, as our brothers and sisters. This is real first-class God consciousness. This is what my spiritual master said. Of course, Prabhupada was referring to a great Christian saint named Saint Francis, who had that same philosophy, and Prabhupada said that is first-class God consciousness. So everyone is connected to us in that family relationship, the spiritual family relationship. So we are asking all living entities to take up Krishna consciousness. Of course, basically in the human body it's a lot easier. But even the living entities such as the animals can benefit from the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The spiritual sound vibration comes from the spiritual world. Golokera, Premadana, Harinam, Sankirtana. It descends. It's an avatar. The vibration descends from the spiritual world, and by chanting it, even if you don't know what it means, even if you just hear it, even if you're a dog or a cat, of course you can't chant generally if you're a dog or a cat, then you make spiritual advancement. So amazing. So no one is so merciful like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda because they presented this chanting. And even birds and beasts cry. And that's a particular example from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes when he passed through a forest known as the Jarakanda Forest. He was with his assistant Balabhadra. And Balabhadra was shocked to see the lions and tigers. He was scared first. He saw lions and tigers, I better run away. But then he saw them all get up on their hind legs and dance and chant, and even the deer and the tigers begin to kiss each other. And these tigers are not like little tiny pussycats. The tigers they have in India, the Bengal tigers, anyone seen a Bengal tiger? They have some in the zoo here in Ashboro. They're big. I mean, they're man-eaters. They go into a village and decimate a village. And so they were getting up on their hind legs and just, Hari Bol. Pretty good. I mean, I can't do that. None of us can do that, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to do that. That's how merciful and how spiritually potent he is. And there's another picture of the same pastime. Even the stones melt. Amazing. And that's also reminiscent of Krishna's pastimes when Krishna played his flute. The inanimate entities like the stones, they actually melted. And the animate entities like the deer and the other entities like that, human beings, they all became stunned hearing the transcendental sound of Krishna's flute. So such miracles happen upon hearing Lord Chaitanya's merciful qualities. So just by hearing about his qualities like we're doing today, we can experience miracles in our heart. But Lochan Das, who is the author of this poem, prays, I am entrapped in the materialistic sense gratification process, falling and remaining there. In other words, he's taking a very humble position. Obviously, he's not. So humility is an essential quality for accepting the mercy of the Lord. As it says in the Bible, the meek shall inherit the earth. So humility means not just like thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Does everyone understand what that means? Like someone who just talks about themselves all day long. I'm so terrible. I'm so horrible. Nobody's worse than me. Oh, let me tell you how bad I am. That's not humility. That's pride. But humility means basically to think of what Krishna wants, what God wants, and to serve Him. And then Krishna takes care of yourself. Ananyas chintayantamam yejanak padyupasate tisham nityavyuknamam yogisham vihamayam, as Krishna says in the Gita. For one who devotes himself to me, Krishna is speaking, then I carry what he lacks and I preserve what he has. Very nice, isn't it? So then you become truly humble. And then even if you have some qualities that other people appreciate, you understand these qualities are coming from God. And so this, the author of this poem is lamenting, out of his humility, that I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Of course, it's also stated that they've come to save the most fallen. So some devotees say, you know, I'm very fallen. Well, Chris Prabhupada told us not to consider that we're the most fallen. One devotee went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. But, you know, generally devotees will go to Lord Chaitanya and say, I'm very fallen, save me. Because unless, as they say, unless you bottom out and understand you need help, you won't ask for help. If you think, I'm not fallen, I'm exalted, I don't need any help. So the idea is to go to Lord Chaitanya in that particular mood. Help. Help me. And then Lord Chaitanya will help. This is more manifestation of humility. Due to my sinful deeds, Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, is punishing this Lochan Das. This is more manifestations of humility. And that's the end of the poem. So now we have a little chanting here. Just to enlighten us. Just chant the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And these are different depictions of the Panchatattva. Panchatattva means Lord Chaitanya appears not only with Lord Nityananda, who is Lord Balaram, but with his other associates, like Advaitacharya, who is Sadashiva, Mahavishnu, with Srimati Radharani, manifestation of Srimati Radharani, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and Sri Narada Muni, who is Srivas Thakur. So generally, Lord Chaitanya appears with the Panchatattva. And here's Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So Panchatattva means the five truths, the five manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His energies. So, all right, so that's a brief introduction. We don't want to go on too long because it's a little inclement weather outside. Does anyone have any questions before we take prasad? And so the Lord Chaitanya's appearance is on Thursday. The program starts at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Right. And so hopefully the weather will be nice. We're praying for nice weather, so you can all come on that day. So, any questions or comments? Anyone have any questions about Lord Chaitanya, his appearance, his position, his methodology? No? Yes.
And then like just by receiving the mercy, people are dancing in ecstasy. Like sometimes we feel that why are we not receiving that ecstasy? Like, you know, trying to take up the process, but
why are we not receiving that mercy? Because we are attached. We don't want the mercy. In other words, we want to keep ourselves in illusion because we still have some hope of enjoyment in this world. And because of that, we're still attempting to enjoy this world and we're not crying out for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have to. The only price is to cry out. Like Prabhupada would say, the price of pure devotional service is tears. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu illustrates this in the Sukshastika, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkuram, Patitam Mam Vishame Bhuvam Buddho, Kripya Tava Pada Pankaja, Stita Duli, Sadra Sambhajintya, O son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen into this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please, therefore, pick me up and fix me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. So we have to come to the point of asking for the help. That's all we have to do. But if we don't ask for it, if we just think, you know, I'm all right. As there was one book that was published called Transactional Analysis in the 1960s. It was called I'm Okay, You're Okay. So I remember sitting, while Prabhupada was giving a class, he was talking about that book. Also in India, the expression is Yatumat Tatupat. That's a similar expression. So I'm okay, you're okay. So, you know, do your own thing. So Prabhupada said, we say, I'm okay, you're not okay. So one has to get to the realization that I'm not okay. You got to go to a doctor. I mean, let's say you have some problem with your physical problem. And you say, well, the doctor's not helping me. But you didn't go to the doctor. He said, the doctor's useless. I said, but have you seen him? No. That's kind of silly, isn't it? So you have to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and realize that we need the help in this world. Why do we need the help? Tukaliyama Sashvatam. This material world is such, especially in Kali Yuga, Kaler Doshanadhe Rajanashiko Mahaguna. It's an ocean of quarrel. People are less fortunate, short-lived, fighting for no reason whatsoever. I mean, you see all these wars going on. I mean, there's absolutely no reason for these things to go on. Fratricidal wars, you find one after another. In the Balkans, you know, you have one country attacking each other, and now in so many places, like these religious wars occurring. I mean, it's amazing. So basically, if you're intelligent, you're going to be thinking, get me out of here. And not only the wars, let's say there weren't any wars. Ultimately, just like we're visiting different devotees in the hospice, we have one of our members, and we ask you all to pray for this nice devotee, Lalita Krishna, who's getting ready to leave his body due to cancer. So it's very sad, you know, what's happening. Of course, he can make a perfection of his life by remembering Krishna at the time of death. However, that's the nature of this world. Wherever there is birth, death is certain. Wherever there is death, birth is certain. You know, that's reincarnation, of course. And so we should see the ultimate end of this body and just be crying out, you know. And that's what really brought me to Krishna consciousness many, many years ago. My parents were preaching to me, not Krishna consciousness, of course, but they were preaching to me, you know, the goal in life is to make a lot of money and make us happy and become a doctor. And I said, why? I said, ultimately, it's all for naught. You know, you're going to lose everything you want. They say, ashes for ashes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And they said, don't talk like that. You're spoiling everything for us. Even my brother says that to him when I try to explain things to him. So if we look at the reality of life, you know, the reality of life is, you know, birth, death, disease, old age. Then we'll start looking for a solution. Or, let's say, to use a common example, if you're in an apartment and your lease is running out, you'll start looking for another place to live. If you don't, you're kind of foolish. If you just wait till the lease runs out, I see people do that, and they're out in the street. So you should really understand what's happening in the future. Look towards the future. And don't just live for today. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die, like the Epicureans. But understand, you know, what is life all about? Research, atato brahma jigyasa. Look to the purpose of life. I mean, at least, even if you don't accept Krishna consciousness, just try to find out, what is the purpose of life? What it's all about? Where did I come from? Where am I going? I mean, these human beings should be asking these questions. If people don't ask these questions, can we consider that they're human beings in a real sense? Because they're not utilizing their higher intelligence. If people are just asking questions, where is food? You know, where is my mate? Where's a good fight? You know, where's the football game tonight? So, or whatever. I mean, these questions are being asked by the animals. Just like I was just in India and listening to all the birds chirping. They have many beautiful birds there. They have one type of bird that laughs at you all the time. But the laughing of the bird is not that the bird's thinking, let me entertain some human being by laughing. The bird is laughing because he's calling his mate or defining his territory. You know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So what differentiates a human being from that bird? Unless the human being is looking to see what is the purpose. You know, teleos. You know, teleos, teleology. Teleology means the purpose. Of course, that's Greek. But the purpose of life, or the purpose of this universe. If we think something has no purpose, then we're like existentialists. You know, there's no purpose to life. And it's very depressing. Very depressing to think like that. And it's not true. There is a purpose. There is a reason. Just like in the book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes, there's a time and a purpose. You know that song? That's a very interesting song. So there is a purpose to life, and then we should dedicate our life to finding out what that purpose is, if we're human beings. Okay, I think we should end now because it's getting late. And I don't want everyone to leave when it's dark because there's so much ice and everything out there. So any other announcements? So anyway, all glory is to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Okay.
I'd like to thank Maharaj for the wonderful class.